guys, welcome back to the Lit Podcast. My name is Esther.
My name is Chelsea.
And Lit stands for Living in Truth. And we are back with another episode. Turn up. And today we have some heavy topics in store. What are we talking about today?
Giving our testimony.
Woo! Testimonies! Yeah. I know I gave my testimony on my podcast. About struggling with pornography, but I didn't really talk about where that came from, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess how it started, yes, but what helped me or made me like continue that or feed into that more. I could probably dive a little deeper on that.
I'll also be giving my testimony of how I came to Christ and why I'm still here.
Ooh.
And like things I've had to overcome.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay, so
let's go straight into it.
Yeah, Chelsea's gonna take it away. No icebreakers. We just gonna dive right in.
Yeah. Warning, this can be sensitive or triggering.
Oh. Could be.
Okay. Or it can also help you in the healing.
Okay.
So I'm gonna start from the beginning. When I first came to Christ, I don't have a date though. That's the thing. You know how everyone has like their safe date?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have a safe date. I can give you the era. Cause like.
The era?
Let me not say the era. Like
the year?
The period of time it was. Okay. I was going into my sophomore year of college. So it was that summer before my sophomore year of college. So
okay.
Sophomore year of college, I would have been turning 20? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been
turning
20 or 19, because I graduated at 21. So I think I would have been turning.
Oh, he was young.
Yeah, I was been turning 19, basically.
Okay.
So I was still 18, because I didn't start college yet. So I was 18. And honestly, I don't even think it was even a church
mm-hmm.
service. I honestly think it was like an internal decision I had made within myself,
mm-hmm.
like in my room. Like I've definitely been to say like altar calls in that time period,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like that's why I'm like, I had salvation, but it, even throughout that whole time period, once I became saved, I still wasn't necessarily living holy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's why I say I don't really have a certain time period, because I can't remember a time where like I was saved and this was like the full decision. I was never going back to it, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense. So I would say over the years it became the time I started like to realize I don't want to get back. I don't want to come back to the same sin. But that was like years later.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is interesting. Cause yeah, but anyways, so I got saved that summer at 18, but I was still dealing with, like, I was still in my sin, basically. I was still, you know, committing fornication, and I was in a relationship at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so my boyfriend at that time, we started dating before I got saved. So once I got saved, it was a thing where... Yeah, like I feel like a lot of stuff I wanted to stop in a relationship. Because you know one thing, when you start a relationship and y'all have sex every single... but basically, we're going to have a real testimony. So basically, y'all have sex all the time. And then now that you get saved and you find Christ, and it's like, oh, I want to stop having sex. But then
mm-hmm.
it's like, wait, that's not what I signed up to.
Right.
And it's like, it became a thing where I wanted to have stop having sex, but I actually didn't. But I would always say it, but I would always still do it, and I would keep repeating the same cycle. This cycle probably went on since 18 I got saved. This cycle probably went on till about 21.
Okay.
Since I was, yeah, so we're talking, that's like 4 years? Is that 4 years? Or four?
Three.
Four. Three? Oh yeah, 3 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, let's say, yeah, 21. Actually, no, let's say 22, only because I would say when it comes from the first day I actually became like abstinent, that was around summer of last year. Summer of last year, I was 22.
Okay. Okay. Right.
I wasn't. But basically, well, let's say 22 to like be serious.
Okay.
So yeah. So that went on for a couple of years, honestly. It was pretty much a cycle of like fornication and lust, and like we would have periods of not having sex. And whenever I tried to leave it, mm-hmm. it was a thing where now I would like get into like masturbation, but mm-hmm. not think about it. Like I've never, even when I did try to like sexually please myself when mm-hmm. I was trying to leave my relationship, it was never like, this is probably getting too specific. Basically, I never use like certain things. Basically, I would create images in my head based on sex that we had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of ran rampant in my mind. And then just like, it just led into like a whole spiral of lust. Mm-hmm. Like every time I would leave, I would always find my way back.
Mm-hmm.
And like even after altar call, I would always find my way back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always into this one relationship. And you know, it got to a point in time where it's like, even when I really wanted to start to live for Christ, I thought it would be easier if he was saved. Because mm-hmm. he was like Muslim, but not really.
Oh.
So we would have like arguments about Islam versus Christianity. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a soul tie, to be honest. Looking back at it, it was definitely a soul tie, mm-hmm. because there was no way I was getting away from this person. Like, I think I told my friend one time, I was like, I feel like the only way I could probably stop this cycle I'm in with him is if I move out of Maryland.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, girl, it's not that, like, basically, like, it's still gonna follow you. Basically, I basically said the only way I would have literally physically had to get myself out of it in order for me to stop. Mm. And I said that, but I've overcome that, and that has been long gone for about a year now, actually. So,
oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. So that was, so that was kind of the big thing. But even in that, throughout that whole cycle, I was still technically a Christian. Because I was saved, but even throughout that whole cycle I'm talking about with fornication, I was still serving at church, I was still praying, I was still doing the Christian things.
Okay.
But I'm trying to even, like, the moment I realized that, like, I wanted to be consecrated and I wanted to, like, live differently,
mm-hmm.
I would say it probably didn't happen until maybe about a year and a half ago, I want to say. It most recently happened. Because it's even funny, because even when I was a Christian,
mm-hmm.
like, I always had this label when I was back in that time period. I always had this label of being the holy one. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to sex, I was having that. You know, I feel like I had a vice, but no one ever really knew it. And also used to never want to tell people at all, because mm-hmm. like I kind of already had this type of stigma on me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started to become more open. I think the more open I became about certain things I struggled with,
mm-hmm.
like the more, like, the easier it was for desires to leave me and
mm-hmm.
move away from me. Like, you know, because like the thing about like your sexual desires and stuff, like, it's one of those things that if you continue to feed it, it grows more. But the more you, like, when you stop and you let it go and you don't feed that, it decreases. And for me, like, I feel like I never thought I would get into a place where, like, I wouldn't be the Christian who's okay with, like, I thought I would be like that. Like, mm-hmm. I would still be, like, doing the Christian thing, but still fornicating and stuff. Okay. But
yeah.
So, yeah, that's my testimony, how God freed me from that.
Mm-hmm.
I think now that I'm not intimate with people or that person in particular,
mm-hmm.
I find that now it's like the war is no longer in, like, it's not a physical war, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to sin, it's more so like a mental one.
Mm.
Where it's like I now have to make sure I'm not placing myself it's like fantasies now. Like there are moments where I'm like, I'm thinking about, you know, said person and thinking about certain things we did in the past, or like, you know, I feel like now it's the war in your mind that you now have to overcome.
Yeah.
That I feel like I'm in.
I agree with that. Or I can relate to that. Okay. So what helped you, like end the relationship?
That's true. Ooh, what helped me end my relationship? I think just wanting more. Part of it was just wanting, I think I just wanted more that I feel like it, this couldn't give me. And then, this was a part of my, when I was 18, I had a prophet tell me one time. And mind you, I was still very new to the church thing, so the whole prophetic thing was very, like, new to me. I went to my grandma's church, and I had a prophet tell me one time, he asked me, do you have a boyfriend? And I didn't say anything. I was like, that's weird to ask me. Actually, do you have a boyfriend? I didn't answer. And he was like, you need to break up with your boyfriend. And, like, God wants to reveal his glory in your life. Something, like, around the terms of God wants to reveal his glory in your life, but that's stopping. But that relationship is stopping God from being able to do that, or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And I did not listen to that prophetic word.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was 18, and we didn't really break up until I was 20, 21, like, maybe 2-3 years later is when we actually broke up.
Okay.
But even when we did broke up, we were, like, still doing the friends with benefits thing.
Okay.
Like, there was still a tie that had us there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one, but I didn't really listen to it until later on. And, yeah, I think it's just really wanting more. Wanting more. Because I know this was not what I wanted at all.
Yeah. Okay, I get that. So I guess how, like, were there things that you had to stop doing when you officially decided, like, okay, I want to follow Christ? Were there other things outside of, like, not being connected to this person that you felt like you had to do or change about yourself?
To me, being transparent has probably been the biggest part of, like, what has led it, what has rid me from a lot of, like, desires and lustful desires I've dealt with. Like, to me, like, I can now talk about it, like, oh, and sometimes I get ahead of myself with it, though, because, but, you know, now I could talk about, to me, I have no shame. I think shame was a big thing that kept me under and in it, because that shame of what it would look like, what people would think, like, but to me, like, it doesn't faze me to say the things I've done. In this particular area, I think shame still is still doing its undoing. Shame is still doing its work in me. But when it comes to, like, fornication or lust, like it doesn't faze me.
Do you think that's, like, unique to speaking on the podcast? You feel like you can get up on stage and tell that testimony?
Could I get up on stage? Probably. I would like to think so, but I won't know because I've never been in the actual. But I would like to think I would. I would say so. Yeah,
that's good. Because I don't think
I know. That's true. Because I've never, like, this is the conversation I've had with my mom, my parents. My sister's probably most recently found out.
Oh, you talked to your mom about it.
I never.
Okay.
My sister's probably most recently found out. But I've told my sisters because I feel like, it's a learning experience. And because I'm a big sister, like, I feel like it's a learning experience to tell other women and other girls. Like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So.
I get that. And I feel like that may be just unique to our church in general, though, because it's an African church. Our parents go there. Like, I don't foresee myself getting up there and saying, like, I used to struggle with porn. People don't even give those type of testimonies.
They don't. Yeah.
It's like, I just got a new car, I just got a new job, or car accident.
Yeah, got you.
It's never, like, the really deep, stuff that, like, people really need to hear. Yeah, and I've been thinking about doing it just because I know people struggle with these, like,
would you do it in life, Kenan?
I don't know. Would I do it in my... That's our young adult ministry. Would I do that? Yeah, but it'd be random. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would be random. So
yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. But I don't know if that's shame. Is that shame still? Is
it? I think it's shame because, but I think it's also people just worrying about what other people think of them. Because pride is a big, and reputation is such a big thing in the culture.
In our culture, like, yeah.
If people know you for the girl who was fast and like, it's, you know, people are going to think
that is true. That is true. And I'm very like, I feel like people see me in church as like such a good girl. Oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
If I start talking about everything, I mean, like, I feel like, yeah, people might, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Because I know the people that, I know, or the people that I really value, the relationships I really value, they're not
right.
They wouldn't think twice about speaking to me again after that, but I know certain people might act some type of way.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's your business.
And then I've never told my parents that either, so that would be weird.
Yeah, I see the parents one, weird. Because yeah. It's like, they've raised you a certain way and stuff, but like, I would tell my parents if they told me theirs. And if we had to be in a real deep, like, that's they true. Told me the things that they've done, and you know,
yeah, that is true. Yeah,
then I'll probably
no, my dad, I feel like he'd be like, what?
Do you think that maybe they know, but they don't want to tell you?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because my mom, she can't keep it that long.
She don't watch the podcast.
They don't.
Oh.
I thought my mom did, but no, she doesn't. So yeah, that would be the main hurdle, my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, forget about everybody else. But I've talked about it with my brothers, so that wouldn't be a big deal. But yeah, my parents, they're not aware. But I was thinking, like, okay, if I put on the podcast, put on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. People will see that when they follow me, so right. Maybe they'll be like, "Oh, did
someone
you know?
Tell?"
Yeah, somebody might be like, "Your daughter posted,
right,
like
posted that."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I didn't care about that at that point. I just go, "Yeah, I did. I posted my testimony."
Yeah.
So yeah, but to just straight out just have that conversation with them, nah, I wouldn't do that. I don't think I would do that. Okay, so what advice could you give to someone who is experiencing a soul tie, like they're struggling to get out?
What advice would I give? I would say freedom is better. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, yeah, and that kind of sounds like a bad advice, but I'm like freedom, like the whole aspect of freedom is better than what you're currently dealing with. Because I feel like, you know, I was reading something, you know how like the Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another verse that's similar, kind of similar. It talks about how temptation leads to sin.
When sin is
fully born, it gives way to death.
Yes.
So the reality is, I mean, we're all going to die, right? But how you die and where you go after you die is a big part of how you, like, is determined by how you lived. So, like,
I'm preaching, girl.
To me, like, it's going to give way to death.
Yeah.
And not in the way, not in the death that I'm sure no one wants to be in hell. So, it gives way to death in hell. So, I feel like when you look at that, the perspective changes. But I feel like you also have to be a person, because when I grew older, I became a person that was more prudent, and I thought more of the future, and I thought about certain things. I don't want my kids, my daughter, my sons dealing with this. Like, you know what I mean? You start to think differently. Like, if there are things I can break now and I could avoid in the future, like, I would rather do that.
So freedom is better.
Freedom is always better.
Yeah, and I think that's something I had learned too, because I think when a lot of people think about Christianity, they think you're like kind of in bondage.
Yeah,
per se.
There's a lot of boundaries, limits.
Yeah, but I think I heard a pastor say one time that like living a life in Christ is the most free you will ever be, and it's so true. Like when you are bound to things, I guess if you're not, even if you're not thinking about it in that way, like, oh, what I'm doing is a sin, still having like addiction, being addicted to something,
yeah,
or like
being a slave to that,
yes,
like alcohol,
yes,
sex,
you even media. As a person who is not religious, mm-hmm. you will still see those effects. Like, there are people who are not Christian that mm-hmm. can tell you the negative effects of watching porn, like,
yeah.
I think Jada Pinkett Smith even did a Red Table Talk about it mm-hmm. and how it affects relationships yeah. and
your sperm count.
Yeah, how people are trying to destroy Pornhub. And these are people that aren't even believers. So it's like mm-hmm. you even start to see the negative effects of sin. Like, just living a reckless life, not caring about what happens today, what happens tomorrow, living with no boundaries. Like, sometimes order is kind of necessary. Like,
it is, yeah.
To live better, like putting yourself under God, like submitting to God, you realize, like, oh my gosh, like, this is so much better than just doing whatever I want.
Yeah.
But you have to come to the faith and accept yeah. Him into your life to experience what we're talking about. Because yeah. we can talk about it all day long. You won't get mm-hmm. it until you're actually experiencing that, like, oh wow, this is what life is like
yeah.
in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it may feel like you're limited, and this is what we should think about even when we're tempted. It's like, I really want to do this thing, but I can't do this thing. And it's really for our benefit. Like, it's, we should like try to change our mindset, our perspective on it, because everything that God tells us to do is for the betterment of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, telling us not to have sex, He created sex. He knows. He knows how good it is, but it's like, I want you to do this within the confinement of your marriage with your person. And there's a reason that He says that, which you won't realize until you get there. You're like, I know why God said this is for a husband and a wife,
mm-hmm.
and not just for everybody out here on
yeah.
the street. You know, mm-hmm. like,
right.
Yeah, so sometimes order is better, and there's the freedom we have in Christ is better than any type of freedom people yeah. imagine that they have without yeah. Him.
No, I agree. I was gonna say, like it's, I don't know, I think one time I had said, like, oh, it feels like it's a privilege to know God, like to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not necessarily because everyone has access to know Jesus, it mm-hmm. literally, it feels like a privilege because, like, when there's no direction in this world, and like, I always say myself, tell myself, I can't imagine going through this world with no direction,
mm-hmm.
especially in the society we live today, where like
yeah.
everything is brought to you,
yeah,
right. But with living with Christ in your life, it's like it puts perspective on how you should move,
mm-hmm.
which makes it so much easier.
Yeah, yes.
Like,
yes.
Even though sometimes the decisions I want to make are a bit harder versus what the world can do,
mm-hmm.
but the promises, the peace, like the everything that comes with that is just so much better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yes. there's what? Nothing this world can give me that will ever like. That will ever be more than what I have here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no.
Won't fulfill you.
Yeah, it won't fulfill me.
Yeah.
Because this world will go away.
Yeah.
The world will go away.
That's true. Like, true fulfillment is in Christ. And you can be in Christ and still feel unfulfilled.
Yeah,
but I think
sure.
that means that there's something you're not submitting.
Yeah, you're not surrendering something.
Yeah, you're not surrendering something. Like,
yeah,
there's
true.
Still more of you to give.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says less of me and more of Him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you still feel like, okay, I'm in Christ and my job is not fulfilling, my relationship
mm-hmm.
is not fulfilling, you're not submitting or surrendering something. Like, if you really just lay it all down for God, you will experience fulfillment in
Amen.
Him. In Him. Because only He can satisfy us.
Yeah.
Not the drugs, not the alcohol, not sex, not none of that. Yeah, only God. Even when you drink, like, you drink, you get too drunk, you end up with a hangover. Like,
mm-hmm.
you crash. If you smoke or do any type of drugs and you overdose, like, you can almost kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can never have too much Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There's no downside to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing negative about indulging into the faith. Like,
yeah.
nothing. So, yeah. That true fulfillment really just comes from him. Mm-hmm. Even when you give into temptation, sometimes you're just like, yo, it wasn't even worth it.
I'm like,
it wasn't even good. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, and your mind and your body will be telling you, like, no, you need to do this thing. Like, you really need to do this thing. And you'll do it, and you're just like, I just wasted my time.
Yeah, I didn't really even enjoy it.
But in Christ, that don't even happen. Yeah. You don't experience that. So in this relationship, did you also feel like you needed to, like, I don't know, was there a point where you needed to, like, find new friends or develop a different type of community?
That's a good question. I don't feel like I don't even know if my friends were even a factor. I feel like a lot of it was very internal, because a lot of my friends didn't even support the relationship, didn't really like the guy. So it was very much so like mentally, internally within me that caused me to go in it and caused me to stay in it. Like, because it was a point where you couldn't really tell me nothing.
Anything?
Yeah, like.
I ain't know that too.
Like, I remember I was probably 18, and I told my friend that I was gonna marry the guy. And we were arguing in the car. She was like, how are you gonna marry a guy? Y'all barely know each other. Blah, blah, blah. And mind you, he's Muslim. And so he was like, you never know if he converts. I was like, you never know if he converts for me or some shit like that. And we were arguing because I was like, you can't tell the future. How are you going to tell me if I'm not going to marry him?
This, that, and the third. Oh, my
gosh. It was so stupid.
Oh, but, wow. That's so funny. That's hilarious. Oh.
Yeah.
That's good. So after you gave your life to Christ, what are some things that changed about you? Like your character, your personality?
Some things that changed. Some things changed for the good, and some things I probably should work on. I think I became a bit self-righteous in the sense of like if there was sin that someone else was doing, I would over kind of exaggerate that, but still be my own type of thing. Like, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm explaining self-righteousness right, but I would say that was something that developed, but refined. I'm not really that though. Thank God, because I hate, but self-righteous people are just not the best people to be around. But I started to really have a heart for service, I would say. Like, yeah, serving people, that's something that's big for me.
Yeah, and I can see that in you.
Thank you. I would say that's probably the big one. Yeah.
Okay.
And I used to be really shady. A lot of my friends would say that. I was kind of like mean shady. I'm not really shady,
mom. Praise God.
But I'm that. I do used to be shady, apparently.
LOL.
Well, not apparently, I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good that you can identify those things. Yes.
But even now, I'm still working on them. Because sometimes I tend to have preconceived notions about people, and I allow that to lead me to, like, already cast judgment on people even before I meet them or know them. So it's like, but then when I realize that they're actually not bad, I'm like, Chelsea. Because, like... And that goes back to the self-righteousness, because I was like, this is the spirit of discernment that God's given me, so this is why I feel that way. But I'm like, wait, but the person's actually not.
Oh my gosh, I used to do that too. I can easily read people. I know
exactly. Yeah, that, I'm literally
like, I know what school. Kind of person you are.
Yeah. I always think I know somebody. Until
I used to think that too. Now I can guess who anybody is. Really, people just be surprising you. Like, I would have never thought you were that. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, because people will show you.
Yeah. Okay. Any last words regarding your testimony?
I think it's still a work in progress. I think I still have testimony part two loading, if that makes sense. I think the more I continue to follow God, Christ, and follow Jesus, the more I'll have to testify about, because I think there's definitely still things that I'm still praying to overcome and grow like be on the other side of.
Okay.
So, yeah, like I mentioned, that war in your mind when it comes to fantasy or lust, like, you know, that's a big thing. I feel like I'm currently still going through and trying to overcome.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. I pray that somebody is healed.
Father Lord, we just lift this moment to your hands, and we currently pray for just anyone who's watching or listening to us that's currently struggling with sin and lust and fornication or whatever it may be. I just pray for freedom. I pray that they would have a yearning in their heart and desire to be free. And that they will have that yearning and desire to remove themselves away from those things, and that they will have a heart that wants to be free and understand that freedom is better. I just pray, oh Lord, that you would meet them at the point of their need, that you would make a way for them. You said that you always give us a way out when it comes to temptation. And I pray that you would deliver them from those things.
Amen.
Mentally and physically. That their flesh would be a place for the Spirit of God to dwell.
Amen.
That their mind will be a place where they'll be able to think of things that are praiseworthy, that are holy, that bring you pleasure.
Amen.
All this we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. Stay tuned for my testimony in our next podcast. Bye.
Bye, y'all.